Hello and welcome to the Cooklow podcast. Today I am just over the moon and can't believe I'm saying the words that Mel Robbins is on the Cooklow today. She is one of the most booked speakers in the world and changed her life in her 40s by changing her habits. One of my favorite parts of this podcast is towards the end where she speaks about that breakthrough she had into this world and how the 5-second rule transformed her life. Mel struggled with anxiety, panic attacks, and the impact of untreated childhood trauma for 35 years. She says she made her life harder than it needed to be. For years, she trash-talked and shamed herself. She let perfectionism, anxiety, and people-pleasing take over. And I think we can all relate to that. Now, with over 2 million copies of her book sold, 26 million views on her TED Talk, it's time for her new book, The High Five Habit. Backed by science, Mel is encouraging everyone all over the world to start our day by high-fiving ourselves. And with that tiny adjustment to our morning routines, we can take steps towards the life we want. Today, she explains what that simple high five can bring to our lives and how we can move away from self-doubt, negativity, and all of those things that are holding us back day after day. I'm still pinching myself after this conversation this week. I mean, to get a pep talk from one of the world's leading figures in personal development was absolutely surreal. Thank you, Mel, for your time. And to you, my listeners, for all the high fives that you give me. It goes so far. So let's promise ourselves that today is the day that the negative self-talk, the beating ourselves up will end. We're swapping all that out. We're swapping it for, I've got this. I'm proud of myself. And yes, I can do it. I'm Georgie Crawford. This is the Cooklow Podcast. Following a cancer diagnosis in my 30s, my goal is to inspire and empower people on their self-care journey. Through the conversations I have with my guests, we hope to do just that.
There is a plan, and believe that if you're at rock bottom and you're suffering, this is all part of your life, your tapestry. This is your story, and where you go next is what's crucial.
The love before was easy, but the love at my lowest was real.
We all know what makes us happy. We all know the life we dreamed about. And deep down, we all know what we're capable of if you only give yourself permission to do it.
I now live a happy and fulfilled life where self-care is the top priority and every day is an opportunity to grow. This season, I've teamed up with L'Oreal Paris. L'Oreal Paris Revitalift Pure Retinol Night Serum is their most potent retinol for deep wrinkles. Validated by the L'Oreal International Board of Dermatologists, it is loved by consumers and was awarded Best Retinol for 2021 by Grazia. Applying L'Oreal Pure Retinol Serum before your nighttime moisturizer can tackle the appearance of even deep wrinkles and brighten your skin. Revitalift is available in your local McCabe's pharmacy. Mel Robbins, I am so honoured to speak to you on the Cooklow podcast today. Thank you so much for joining me. How are you?
I'm really good. I'm super excited to be here. And Georgie, I can't wait to just jump right in with you.
Yes, I have to say, Mel, I absolutely love your new book, The High Five Habit. I've been going around my house listening to it on Audible. I absolutely adore it. So congratulations. I've just found your journey so inspiring to watch. And you started this High Five Habit one day when you were looking at yourself in the mirror.
Yeah. So I want to ask you a question, though. What exactly are you getting out of the book, The High Five Habit?
I really, over the last couple of months, Mel, have been punishing myself with negative self-talk. It's just been a little bit constant for me.
No matter who's around me, you know, Jamie, my husband, my mom, you know, giving me the pep talks. There was just something inside me that was just a little bit sad. I have created this business, this podcast, and how am I not able? How does everyone else want to give me a high five, but I don't want to give myself a high five? So listening to you speak, and not just about the high five habit, you know, everything you speak about as the chapters go on in this book was really quite eye-opening for me. And I've started to give myself high fives. I feel differently every time I do it. Some days I believe in that high five a little bit more than other days, but I found it really insightful, and I've learned a lot from it.
Well, I'm not surprised that every day the habit of looking yourself in the mirror and giving yourself a high five changes or feels different, because every single day your belief in yourself and your ability to face whatever the day may hold is different. Mm. And there are days that you're going to wake up and your life is a complete train wreck and you feel like you're falling off the cliffs into the sea and you'll never recover. And on those days, the high five feels just like a little ray of sun coming into the darkness. And then there are those days, for whatever reason, that when you wake up and you go into the bathroom and you start brushing your teeth and then you put your toothbrush down and you look at yourself in the mirror and you raise your hand and you high five the woman you see in the mirror as part of your morning routine, those mornings, it feels like the entire town of Dublin is cheering for you. Yeah. In terms of the energetic jolt, and you feel like anything could happen today and you will still be unstoppable. And so, you know, what I love about this very simple habit is that it's not simplistic at all. And it's not simplistic because we are, by practicing the act of looking at yourself in the mirror and raising your hand without saying a word and high-fiving the woman that you see, it's an act of defiance against a lifetime of guilt. Mm. It's an act of self-love. And that feels really weird when you've hated on yourself forever. It's an act of belief and faith in self, which can feel really funky when you feel like you're supposed to put all of that faith in God or in whatever you believe. And so it is a simple act when you high five the woman in the mirror, but it has such tremendous depth that it's challenging the very thought patterns and the very behaviors that have either made you unhappy or held you back or saddled you with guilt. And every single high five is slowly pulling away those layers of thought that hold you back.
Mm. And you've, you know, people all over the world are doing this now every morning, and you're hearing from people. What sort of impact has this had? And can you believe that it's reached so far?
So the first question is about impact. And you're right. It the high five habit, which is the habit of high five, looking at yourself and then giving yourself a high five every morning to send yourself into the game of life, the game of work, the game of marriage, the game of parenthood, having your own back, believing in yourself. It has spread around the world. I mean, just this morning, we sent an email around to our team. Like so many teams, our team is virtual. And so every morning we round up some of the highlights in terms of comments and DMs and inbound emails and stuff that's being posted around the world. And we circulate, a top 10 to the team. And just yesterday it included a woman who had been having suicidal ideations. And she came across the high five habit, a video about it. She started doing it, even though she felt kind of cynical or a little bit like, okay, this sounds stupid, but I'm at a point where I might as well try anything. And within a week, she has a completely different outlook on life. It has shut down the ideation. It has gotten her back into therapy. It has made her feel less shame about where she's at and have her ask for help. Because this high five, especially in low moments, isn't a, yeah, life is amazing. When you have suicidal ideation and you're actually thinking thoughts that tell you the irrational thought that maybe it'd be easier if you weren't here, which by the way, isn't true. This dark moment is just a moment and it will pass and you are stronger than this. The high five in a mirror in a moment like that, maybe you're struggling with postpartum depression, something that I've experienced in my life. Maybe you're dealing with the impact of childhood trauma. Maybe you're like in a horrible relationship or a horrible job, or you're doubting yourself, whatever it may be, or you're just overwhelmed by your to-do list. When you stand in front of the mirror on those mornings where you feel very low and very dark and with a lot of despair, that high five says, this isn't going to last. I still believe in you. I believe in your ability. You can keep going. You can face this. And so it kind of taps into that power that is inside of you, that resilience, that courage that you were born with to face whatever it is that's going on in your life and ride the up and down waves. And so that was one that came in this morning. There was another woman that wrote in about how, you know, she struggled with depression for a long time and she was about to start hypnotherapy with her therapist. And she sort of, again, snarled at the idea that a high five, something her therapist recommended because her therapist had read the High Five Habit, that she start adding it to her morning after she drags herself out of bed, which could be so difficult if you're struggling with any form of depression. She's added a high five and she's like, I'm almost embarrassed. Like, I can't believe I'm writing this. It's working. I'm looking forward to going into work. I'm looking forward to starting my day. I am looking forward to my future for the first time in a very long time. We have people that are teaching it to their kids. We have people, like, it's just extraordinary what's been going on. And am I surprised? Not really. And I don't say that because of arrogance. I say that because I have dedicated my life for the last decade to sharing very simple ideas, tools, and stories with people in the hopes that simple ideas and simple stories will help you with the big stuff. And so what I've found to be true in life is that when the problems that you're facing feel so big, we make the mistake of believing that there must be some massive, enormous, big solution that we're missing. And the fact is, the bigger and the more overwhelming the issues or your life may be, the smaller and simpler the solution should be. Mm-hmm. Because tools and solutions only work if you use them. And if life is already complicated and overwhelming, I can't even remember what the hell's on my shopping list, for crying out loud. So how the hell am I going to remember a 3 to 4 or 5 step something to do when anxiety strikes, or when the fog of depression hits, or when I start procrastinating? And so knowing that at any moment I can find a mirror and I can look at myself and I don't have to say anything, but I can just raise my hand and I can send myself back into life or back into work with that little boost of dopamine that your brain gives you when you high five yourself, and that little bit of energy and vitality that you feel that your nervous system gives you when you high five yourself. When I can feel that sense of, okay, I believe in you, I see you, I know this is hard, but I can keep going, that a high five always says, that's a tool you'll actually use.
I would say it can make people feel quite emotional because, you know, that giving yourself a high five, I'm sure, can be very difficult for some people.
Yeah, it's a great observation. You know, I've been researching this for more than a year, and the science is just groundbreaking and mind-blowing. I was speaking with Dr. Caroline Leaf, who is a neuroscientist who invented neuroplasticity. She's one of the neuroscientists that discovered it in the 1980s. And so, super genius, smart lady. We were doing a podcast a week ago and about the High Five Habit, and she flat out said to me, this is the most brilliant tool I have come across in decades. I cannot believe that I didn't stumble into this sooner, given that all I do is research the way in which a brain can change and the neurological, chemical, physiological changes that happen with certain behaviors. And this high five habit, you know, from a chemical, from a neural association level, is so profound that, like, she just, I mean, I was learning tons from her. And so, yeah, here's what we've learned from the research. 50% of men and women cannot or will not look at themselves in the mirror. And they cannot or will not look at themselves in the mirror because they do not like the person that they see. They either see somebody who has failed at life, or they see a face and a body that is ugly, or they see that they've let themselves go, or they see all of their pain and their trauma and mistakes and regrets. And so 50% of men and women actually in the morning as they're brushing their teeth do not look at themselves. Now, that alone, I want everybody to hear me right now. If you are one of those people, first of all, you're not alone. And secondly, that's a habit to not look at yourself. And that is a demonstration that you do not like yourself. That's a demonstration that you have a habit of judging yourself, of hating on yourself, of criticizing yourself. And it is subtle in the bathroom, but that subtle moment where you won't look at yourself embodies how you go through your whole day. So if you are a person who is a people pleaser, if you have imposter syndrome, if you are somebody who's constantly feeling insecure or rereading every text or rewriting every email at work or constantly hoping somebody will tell you that you're doing a good job, the only way you will ever break that seeking of validation, the only way you will stop people pleasing, is if you can learn how to stand in front of yourself in a mirror and look at yourself and treat yourself with respect and with worthiness. If you can't do that every morning, you will never be able to go out into that world and operate as if you are already worthy. You are seeking it outside yourself because you have a habit of constantly criticizing and rejecting self. Mm-hmm. The second you bring self-validation and self-worth back in-house, you will end your need to please everybody. You will end the fact that you are driven by guilt. You have got to start to be able to stand with yourself and not pick yourself apart. Because if you can look at yourself, most of us, Georgie, look at ourselves and are like, oh, my eyes and my makeup, and you pick apart all the things you don't like. Guys do this too, by the way. Mm-hmm. Again, if you are looking at what you need to fix, this is, again, an act of self-rejection. It's an act of self-criticism. And so you put all this makeup on, you change all your hair, not because it's additive. It's because you think there's something wrong with the way that you are. And then you go out in the world and you look at social media. And now, because you don't even like yourself as you are, of course you're going to compare yourself to everybody else. Of course you're going to be constantly insecure. Of course you're going to feel guilty all the time because you foundationally don't even like who you are.
Yeah.
And this is the core problem every human being, particularly women, struggle with. You don't like yourself.
In 2018, in my recovery, I went in. So for so many years, I'd been putting all my energy outwards. And then I promised myself things were going to change. I was going to start investing in myself. And you say in your book that going internal is the key to change. So if we look in the mirror every day and we tell ourselves that we should be doing a better job, or why aren't you getting that promotion? You know, you're going into work every day. Like, why isn't it working? Why don't I have more money? How do we change that narrative in our head?
Well, you have to change it first by demonstrating. So you have to change that narrative with changing the actions that you and the behavior that you have toward yourself. So what I love about the high five habit is that if you've spent a lifetime, which every one of you listening to us right now have, you've spent a lifetime beating the shit out of yourself. That's what you've done. And you have spent a lifetime doing it because you probably grew up in a household where mom or dad did it. Mm-hmm. Or you had experiences in life where people talked down to you and you started to doubt yourself. So this is not even your own narrative and story. This is a story that you've adopted from somebody else. If you had a mother who was critical of herself, I look terrible, or constantly criticizing how she did everything. If you had a father who was relentless in terms of pointing out how things should be done because you were never doing it right, your criticism is a pattern that you picked up in your household growing up, period. End of story. And so it's not even your story. It's your mother's voice or your dad's voice or, you know, the Catholic Church's voice or somebody else's voice telling you what you're doing isn't enough, who you are isn't enough, that you got to change somehow to deserve love, to get forgiveness, to be okay. Every single one of us is born whole and complete. When you look at your children, how old is your daughter?
She's 4.
Great. So when it's Pia, right?
Yes.
So when Pia looks in the mirror, does Pia go, my thighs are so fat, I don't like, what's gone with, does she?
Never. She loves herself.
Yeah. What does she do when she sees a mirror?
She twirls. She checks out her outfit. She makes funny faces.
Yes.
She adores
she loves
herself.
Correct. We all were born that way. And so it is in your DNA to love who you are. It is in your DNA to adore the sight of yourself. It is in your DNA to celebrate yourself. Life taught you to criticize, beat down, reject, and be hard on. And if criticizing, rejecting, beating down, and being hard on was the secret to life, every one of us would be millionaires. We would all drive Range Rovers. We would live happily ever after. We would have amazing bodies and endless wardrobes and our dream careers. So what I can tell you is that criticizing yourself, being defeatist, being negative, rejecting yourself, all of that stuff, it's only making you miserable. It's not helping you. And if you're doing something that's not helping you, what I'm here to offer you is there is a different way. Criticizing yourself is just a pattern. And once you identify that you're very hard on yourself and that you criticize yourself all the time and you're relentless with the kind of defeatist narrative that you've got about yourself, that life's never going to work out, that you're always in trouble, that it's never good enough, when you realize it's just a pattern, the good news is you can break a pattern and then you got to replace it. Because if you don't replace the old pattern with a new one, the old pattern will just keep repeating. Mm-hmm. And so that's what the high five habit is. I'm on a mission to teach you that you have a choice, that you don't have to listen to the criticism, that you could choose to shut that shit up, and you could choose to raise your hand to your reflection every day as an act of defiance to all that crap that you've been thinking, and to put a new pattern in your brain that says, you know what? I don't care how hard life is. I still believe in myself. I still believe that with my attitude and my actions, I can be happier. I can achieve more. I can make my dreams come true. And when you believe that, you'll do the work to achieve it.
I love what you say there about, you know, we were born to love ourselves and celebrate ourselves, because I think for so many people, they have been doing the negative self-talk for so long that they may just think, oh, that's just me. That's who I am. But actually, you weren't born like that.
Now, let me say something. I love what you said. That's just who I am. It is who you are right now. It's true. But think about it like, let's say that you have your smartphone. And let's say that the smartphone gets handed to you. Or I know, I got an idea. Let's say that your mom gives you her smartphone. And on that smartphone is your mother's Spotify list. Your mother's favorite songs. Okay. Now, I don't know about you, but I do not want to listen to my mom, as much as I love her, her playlist all day long. That is just what you got handed, everybody. And so you're so used to listening to the same stuff that she listened to in her head, because she's the one that was repeating it, or your dad was, that you don't realize at any moment you'd be like, oh, wait a minute. There's a whole world out there of music. I don't have to listen to this. I could delete this playlist and then I could put a new playlist in, and there's a new way to treat myself. just because I've always done it this way. I mean, it's at one point, none of us ever wore yoga pants. And then all of a sudden, everybody's walking around going to the grocery store wearing tights, for crying out loud. I mean, I remember when I tried on my first pair of yoga tights, I was like, yeah. I literally can see my vagina. I am not wearing these to the supermarket. No way. And I'm like, who wears these out? And this is crazy. Tying my thing around my waist. Now, like, everybody and their mother's walking around in these things. We got used to it. And so you have a choice. You're just used to the negativity, but you have a choice to get used to something else. And that doesn't mean being saccharine and Pollyanna and fake positive. This is about being strategic and smart and maniacal about what you allow yourself to think about and say to yourself, because you know it's the meaning of life to cheer yourself forward.
I hope you're enjoying my podcast with Mel, and I'm so excited to bring you the second half of this episode, where Mel speaks about how she got into the personal development space, and her story is just so inspiring. First, I wanted to thank L'Oreal Revitalift for supporting the Good Glow this season. It's only when I started to pay attention to looking after my skin that I discovered retinols and the importance of using retinol before bed. L'Oreal Paris Pure Retinol Night Serum leaves my skin feeling brighter and more evenly toned. I love reading reviews about products I'm using, and the words that jumped out at me for this retinol were glowy, smooth, and affordable. This award-winning anti-wrinkle serum is super concentrated, so it's recommended to start applying two nights a week, avoiding the eye area, and always using SPF the morning after. For a double dose of result, you can use it in combination with L'Oreal Paris Hyaluronic Acid Serum that will add plump and hydration to the skin. Now back to Mel.
Mel, here in Ireland, we would say, I can't cope a lot. So that kind of negative voice telling ourselves that we can't deal with certain situations is kind of always playing in the back of our mind. How do we train ourselves not to do that anymore?
Just repeating that, I can't cope, I can't cope, I can't cope, makes your mind and the filter in your mind change structurally in a way so that you're only going to see more evidence, whether it's a long line at the grocery store or a lot of traffic driving home or another friend who's struggling with alcoholism, or another bounced check in your checking account, your brain will hyper-focus on all kinds of things, the dirt in the corner of the kitchen that you need to sweep. And you will see all of that piling up as more reasons why you can't cope. And so I want you to understand that it is important not only to look yourself in the mirror and give yourself the high five every morning after you brush your teeth, and you can be standing there going, Georgie and Mel are idiots. This is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Leave it to an American to tell me to high five myself in the mirror. This is just absolutely ridiculous. I can't cope. And as you raise your hand, something interesting is going to happen. First of all that I can't cope, I can't cope, I can't cope crap in your head will fall silent, because you have never high-fived somebody or seen somebody high-fived and thought, you can't cope, you can't cope, you're going to lose, your life is hard. You've never had a negative thought while you've watched somebody get a high-five or you've received one. Never. So the neural association in your brain with a high five, whether you've been watching football or rugby, or you've been watching, you know, school kids high five each other, or you've received them, or you've watched the Dublin Marathon, whatever it is, your brain knows what a high five is. And a high five says, I see you. Keep going. I believe in you. You got this. A high five is the opposite of I can't cope. A high five is, oh yeah, I see all this crap. I can cope. Oh yeah, I can cope. And so the physical high five becomes a demonstration that no matter what's going on, you can cope. And I like to think about the high five habit and the attitude that starts to develop and the belief that you start to cultivate in yourself and the dopamine that you start to release and the energy that you start to feel. I like to think about the high five habit as the same thing as learning to surf waves. So a surfer rides the waves, the big ones, the little ones, up, down. Sometimes the wave knocks them over, but they typically get back up and paddle back out. As you try to stand as the waves come crashing in, you will literally get pummeled. The high five habit is teaching you how to surf the ups and downs. And knowing that life is never always up, it's ups and downs. Mm. And the secret is learning that during the down moments, you can cope, you'll be okay, you can surf this wave. Because when you learn to surf it and you learn to tell yourself, I can cope, I will get through this, I can face judgment, I can face disappointment, and I can emerge stronger, you'll climb back up to the higher wave sooner than you think.
And Mel, you know, you've been so open about your life in your book. What can you tell us about your breakthrough moment and why you decided to go into self-development?
Well, I went into self-development way back in, it might have been 1999. When it wasn't a thing. I mean, I'm 53 years old. In 1999, my husband and I were living in Boston, Massachusetts, still are. And I just found myself kind of jumping from one job to the next in the first dot-com bubble. And I hired a life coach to help me figure out what to do. And my husband and I had taken a bunch of life improvement courses just because we were interested in it and some friends were doing it. And so that's how I had heard about life coaching. And as I was working with this woman to try to figure out what I should do with my life, because I had been a public defender in New York City, I had worked in the startup arena, first in legal and then went into content and marketing. And I was, you know, a new mom. I didn't know what to do next. I wasn't quite sure who I was. As I was working with this woman, I was thinking, I want to do what she's doing. And so she trained me to be a coach, and I coached individuals for about 5 or 6 years. And then my husband went into the restaurant business, and I took a turn and went into radio and had a little advice radio show. And 2007 hit, and that was a huge housing crisis in the United States when the global kind of mortgage business plummeted. And we found ourselves $800,000 in debt as my husband's restaurant business was failing. And I lost my job. And I, you know, found myself at the age of 41 in a place that I never imagined. I had 3 kids under the age of 10, and we were about to lose everything. We were nearly $1 million in debt. We had no money. I mean, not only no money, we had negative $800,000. My husband hadn't been paid in 6 months. I couldn't buy groceries. My dad was paying our bills. While we were waiting to go to bankruptcy court, I was addressing my problems in a really self-destructive way, screaming at Chris, who was trying his best to save the restaurant business. I was drinking myself into the ground because it was easier than facing reality. And I became a person I didn't recognize. And one evening, I was really drunk on bourbon. And I was giving myself kind of one of those pathetic pep talks, where I'm like, that's it, Mel. You got to pull your shit together. Woman, you got to get a job. You got to stop screaming at your husband. You have got to get those kids on the bus. You have to tell your friends what's going on. You got to do something. And when that alarm rings, Mel, you got to get out of bed. And now here's the thing about that pep talk. Even when you say, I can't cope, you still know what you should be doing. Knowing what you need to do. You know, you already said this. You knew that you were giving everything to everybody else and you had nothing left for yourself. You knew you had to stop doing it. You knew you had to start focusing on taking care of yourself. We know what to do. We don't know how to do it. Mm. And so I knew what to do too, but I didn't know how to stop drinking. I didn't know how to exercise when I was so depressed. I didn't know how to reach out to people when I was so scared and embarrassed and ashamed at where we are. I didn't know how to be nice to Chris when I wanted to kill him. I didn't know. I was consumed with anxiety and fear and depression and overwhelm, and life felt big. It felt so big. And all the solutions felt so scary and so overwhelming. So I did nothing. I was paralyzed. And it was in that moment, as I said, and tomorrow morning when that alarm rings, Mel, you have got to get out of bed. And at that moment, a rocket ship launched across the television screen at the end of a commercial. And I think it was divine intervention or the bourbon. I mean, because I literally was like, that's it. Tomorrow morning, you're going to move like that rocket. You're not going to lay in bed, Mel. You are going to launch yourself out of bed like a rocket ship. And the very next morning, I think a lot about this moment. It was a February morning outside of Boston, Massachusetts in 2008. The alarm went off and there's this 5-second moment of hesitation that defines your whole life. It's the moment between thinking about what you need to do or doing what you need to do. And on that morning, when the alarm went off, as I felt myself thinking about getting out of bed, I just did what I saw that rocket do. And I counted backwards, like the space engineers do, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And I launched myself out of that bed. And that one action demonstrating, yes, even though you're $1 million in debt, even though you have anxiety, even though you don't know how to fix this, you can cope, Mel Robbins. You can get out of bed. And then 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, you can get your kids out of bed. And then 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, you can get breakfast on the table. And 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, you can get their lunches packed. And 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, you can take a deep breath and not snap with sarcasm at Chris. You can talk to him from a place of support. And 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, you can pick up the phone and start searching for a job. And so one decision at a time, I would count backwards, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, to launch myself forward. And so you asked me this question, and that is what is called the 5-second rule. And it's gone on to change millions of people's lives. But the fact is, I used the 5-second rule on my own for 3 years before I ever even told anybody publicly about it. It was just this little secret. I felt like it was a little trick that God gave me. And it was our little thing. And then I kind of said it one day on stage by literally mistake. I kind of forgot what I was supposed to say. So I was like, oh, by the way, there's this thing I do. And that's a TEDx talk that now has 28 million views. And that moment right there, saying it on stage by mistake, that talk spread around the world. It ignited a movement of people around the world who realized, yes, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, I can cope. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, I can do this thing. And so the action proves to your brain that, yes, you can cope because you're taking the action that proves that you can. And so I am not surprised that the high five habit, this idea that everybody as part of their morning routine needs to high five the human being they see in the mirror. And I want you to do it right after you brush your teeth. You know, let's hope that you're getting that nasty ass dragon breath out of your mouth so you don't spread it all over everybody all day long, right? Let's get that out of there. Well, the high five habit gets all of that generational gunk out of your mind, body, and spirit. And I want you to add it to your morning routine so that you break the habit of self-rejection and you replace it with self-acceptance, that you destroy the habit of self-criticism and you put in the habit of self-encouragement, that you abolish the habit of self-hatred and you build the habit of self-love. That's what I'm teaching people to do with this. And everybody on the planet from about the age of 9 up needs to learn that just like we brush our teeth every night and every morning, you also never leave a bathroom without high-fiving that human being in the mirror, because you not only deserve it, especially during the low days, you actually need it.
Well, Mel, I can listen to you all day. You're so inspiring to me. I rang my sister-in-law last week and I told her about the 5-second rule. And she was like, Georgie, this is going to change my life. You know, those things that we keep putting off are making us sick, aren't they? You know, kicking things out all the time and then worrying about them or having shame because you're not doing it or guilt. That's making us sick.
It is making us sick. And it's also unnecessary. But what I want you to understand is that the 5-second rule doesn't change your life. You change your life. Yeah. The 5-second rule is a tool that you can use to beat procrastination, fear, anxiety, the things that hold you back from taking action. The high five habit is a tool that you use that strikes even deeper, because the high five habit goes down all the way to the core of who you are and brings you back home to your true nature, which is somebody like your daughter who's 4, who sees herself and loves herself. Because, you know, for those of you that have children, and I'm assuming a ton of you that are listening do, I want to explain something. And this is something that we hit head on in chapter 4, 5, and 6 in the book. Pia is great right now, but at some point she's going to walk into that elementary school and you're not going to be there. And all of a sudden she is going to have an experience that everybody on the planet has right around the age of 8, 9, or 10. You walk into that cafeteria and you've got your little tray and you look around for where you're going to sit. And all of a sudden, your amazing little brain that has forever and always thought that you are the most incredible, loving, fabulous thing exactly as you are, magically turns into that sorting hat from Harry Potter. And all of a sudden, she will see not a cafeteria where she can go wherever she chooses, but she will start to filter the world from the Harry Potter sorting hat perspective. She will see all the places that she belongs and all the places that she doesn't. I can't go with those kids. Those are the sports kids. I don't look like those kids. Those kids are mean. These kids are here. And so instead of just going with the pull of her heart, her mind will kick into a protective mode of seeking to fit in order to feel psychologically safe. It happens to all of us. You cannot avoid it. And so what I think is also critical, if you have children and you're worried about their self-worth, or you're worried about their self-esteem, or you're worried about comparison, or you're worried about social media, you know, I got news for you. I've got a 23 and 21-year-old daughter, a 16-year-old son. You play an enormous role in their lives. It is just critical how you talk to yourself in front of them, because their brains are absorbing those patterns. And it's also critical that you are supportive and that you make them feel seen and celebrated and heard for the unique individual and experience that they are. They are not mini yous. They are not mini versions of your husband. They are their own individual, and they need to be seen and heard and supported in being an individual. That said, when they have that break in their belonging with self and the Harry Potter hat mind steps in, there is nothing you can do to change it. Only they can change how they see themselves in the world. So when Pia comes home and does what my daughters do, where they say, sometimes I feel like the ugliest person in the room, Mom. It doesn't matter that she's gorgeous. And it won't matter that you say, Pia, that's not true. You're beautiful. You know, like blah, 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 blah. She can't hear it because you've been thinking it for a long time. She needs the tools to be able to look at herself and to raise her hand and high five herself and shut that voice down. That opinion, I'm the ugliest, is a form of self-rejection. Standing in front of herself in the mirror and being able to look herself in the eyes and raise her hand to the reflection, whether she's getting good grades or not, whether she has the latest jeans in fashion or not, whether or not she's one of the rich girls or not, whether or not she's in the cool crowd or not, whether or not she's going to the right college or not, whether or not she has the right person that she's dating or not. If she can see herself and accept herself, it changes how she sees her place in the world. And that's why this is also important for each and every one of you to adopt this as a habit for yourself so you can be practicing it so that you teach it to your children.
Yes. And I've seen on your Instagram kids doing it. Mm-hmm. Actually, to be honest, I was giving Pia high fives all weekend, but I didn't get her to high five herself, which I think I'm going to start from tomorrow.
Yeah.
I am encouraging everyone listening to read The High Five Habit. Thank you so much for sending me a copy, Mel. I absolutely loved it. And I have it on Audible. So I love actually listening to a book on Audible, but then having the physical copy so you can go through and highlight all my favorite bits. So thank you so much for your time today and for coming on to the Good Glow. It was just so inspiring to hear your story.
Well, thank you. High five.
High five.
Thanks for listening to the Good Glow podcast, brought to you with thanks to L'Oreal Paris. A huge thank you to Mel for taking the time to speak to me on the Good Glow today about her new book, The High Five Habit. If you enjoyed this podcast, please rate and review, and I'll chat to you next week.